This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi owes the American people an apology after her visit to a hair salon in San Francisco back on Monday. McEnany saying that Pelosi's elitism shined brightly when she visited that salon despite it being closed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Pelosi says she fell for a setup job and she deserves an apology from the salon's owner.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times. When they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, I trusted that.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden set to meet with Jacob Blake's family during a visit to Kenosha, Wisconsin later today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Fewer Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week. Around 881,000 did, down from a million the week before. With Congress seemingly no closer to negotiating a new coronavirus relief package, Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell says it seems the closer we get to the presidential election, the more bipartisan cooperation diminishes.
And I can't tell you today for sure whether we'll get another rescue package or not. I can tell you I think we need another one.
McConnell was speaking to reporters in his home state of Kentucky. Legendary pitcher Tom Seaver has died at 75. The National Baseball Hall of Fame saying Seaver died in his sleep on Monday from complications of dementia and COVID-19. Nicknamed Tom Terrific, the right-hander won 311 games over two decades in the big leagues, spending most of his career with New York's Mets, leading them to an improbable World Series victory in 1969. This is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
After looking at almost 3,000 designs, the Mississippi State Flag Commission has finally chosen one. The choice? A red and blue flag with a magnolia blossom in the center, replacing the old state flag that featured a Confederate emblem. The flag change still has to be given final approval by voters. Governor Reeves calls it a well-done flag, and he says he supports its adoption. Legendary pitcher Tom Seaver is dead at 75. The National Baseball Hall of Fame confirming that Seaver died in his sleep on Monday from complications of dementia and COVID-19. Nicknamed Tom Terrific, the right-hander won 311 games over two decades in the big leagues. Seaver spent most of his career with the New York Mets, leading them to that improbable World Series victory in 1969. Seaver also played for the Cincinnati Reds, Chicago White Sox, and the Boston Red Sox. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1992. And Disney will have to figure out how to continue with the Black Panther franchise after star Chadwick Boseman's recent death. Only a small group is aware of the actor's private battle, or was, with colon cancer. An insider close to Boseman says the 43-year-old actor was convinced until a week before his death that he was going to beat it. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Fresh and independent, this is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And with us, we've got the founder, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, founder and president of the Urban Alternative, chaplain of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks, which are having a tough basketball season as we're still dealing with COVID-19. But that doesn't stop your chaplainry responsibilities, does it, Dr. Tony Evans?
Well, It changes it up a little bit, like COVID has changed up everything. So
without a doubt, I think there's a whole lot of shaking going on, as one artist said, in light of our culture. God, I believe, is trying to get our attention. What are you sensing here?
I call this a divine disruption in order that there might be a divine reset.
Yes.
God has allowed a series of pandemics to hit us that we are unable to resolve ourselves, because he doesn't want us to resolve it ourselves independently of him. And he's really calling the church to come into the vacuum that he's allowed the culture to experience. He's giving us a unique opportunity in a chaotic situation.
And I'm glad you put it that way in terms of the church, because it's the church's responsibility, established by Jesus Christ, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. If the church is not doing its job, the rest of God's creation suffers consequentially, does it not?
Absolutely. God doesn't skip the church house to fix the White House.
Amen.
And if the church doesn't use this moment, we will have missed one of the greatest opportunities, that Christ be not come, that God has ever given us, because the culture does not have sustaining answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know it's been said that politics runs downstream of culture, and people in a general context understand that our politics stinketh. And I say, well, if our politics stinketh, then we got to go upstream, and our culture doesn't smell too good either, does it?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons that is because the church doesn't smell too good. We wouldn't have some of these social problems the way we have them if the church was modeling biblical Christianity in the public square. It's nice to have church services and church meetings, but that's not going to infiltrate and affect the culture. This racial division should never have existed in the church. Therefore, it would not have been as easy to overflow into the culture.
Exactly. And I want to talk more about that in a moment. But getting back to the condition of the church, I've had repeated conversations recently with George Barna, my good friend, who is the professor at Arizona Christian University, the original founder of the Barna study group that did an incredible amount of studies on the church condition. One of his most recent identifiers had to do with a biblical worldview, which brought us together probably about 10 years ago after a great book that he wrote about Jesus and identifying the lack of a biblical worldview being held in the church today. And back then it was less than 50% of the senior pastors in the pulpit today held to a biblical worldview. And that wasn't something that was extraordinary in terms of the identification of the biblical worldview. It was pretty basic. It wasn't like, you had to make sure you graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary or have some special degree in order to hold to a biblical worldview. It's just a common sense. I think there were 10 identifiers of a biblical worldview. I mean, this is how anemic the church is and why we're in trouble, and we're in trouble with God's people that God has called us to serve.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I think the absence of the grid, the grid through which we are to look at life from a biblical theological framework is definitely missing. We call it the kingdom agenda, the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. If you don't have that comprehensive view of the kingdom, then you're going to segment yourself to certain issues and certain groups and certain people because you don't have a kingdom worldview. You have a cultural worldview, and you sprinkle a little Jesus and Bible on top.
Yeah. That's why Christians, only about 52% believe that a person can gain eternal salvation by being or doing good. I mean, we're back to that old early church argument, by works we're going to save ourselves.
Yeah. And you have more and more Christians gravitating to what the culture is teaching them than what the Word is teaching them. And, in 2 Chronicles 15, it says one of the problems was there was no teaching priest, and a mist in the pulpit will create a fog in the pew.
Amen. Wow. That is powerful. And we have too much fog out in the pews today. And this is why so many people, they've been very casual and questioning whether or not God was intentional in the things that he stated. But that's the age old presentation of Satan himself to Adam and Eve. Did God really say, right?
That's right. They started in the wrong place. We've lost divine authority, biblical authority, and we've begun leaning to our own understanding. We're getting our training, our education, our entertainment, all from a secular worldview. It is infiltrating the minds of our individuals, families. You've got Christians who are debating things like same-sex marriage that God has spoken clearly about, but you've got also Christians who don't put justice on the same level as righteousness. And yet the Bible calls for both equally. So you can trace this all the way down, and you're going to run into the same problem, and that's that worldview that you talked about.
Yeah, and we see it, as you say, recycling. I mean, this is nothing new. Nothing new under the sun is what Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk on the earth, we're told, said that, history does repeat itself, but we're not learning from history. I mean, just like in the time when, the times of Nehemiah, when it was time to rebuild the wall and reconcile, and he comes in and sees that, wait a minute, people have intermarried. The very thing that they were judged for, they defaulted and went back upon. And then they had to, but it required leadership to come forth and hold the mirror of their sin to their face. And fortunately, by the grace of God, they were able to see it and had to make some tough decisions.
Well, absolutely, and that's the kind of leadership we need today. We need spiritual statesmen who are not only in the pulpit but in the culture. What we're missing today, from my standpoint, are kingdom disciples.
Yes.
We're trying to grow churches without growing disciples, and therefore you don't have people reflecting a Christian worldview in their own worlds,
mm-hmm.
whether it's work, family, or economics or whatever it happens to be, and therefore they nickel and dime the cross and its implications in society.
Yeah, exactly. We have some breath, but we lack depth. And that's what we need to drill down to, don't we?
Absolutely. And time is not on our side, so we've got to get real aggressive with it.
Well, you know, on one hand, it is a bit of a double-edged sword. The way I see it, Dr. Evans, is that, you know, here we are, and I know some people would look at it and say, well, we win. You know, if Jesus comes and we're judged and it's over, we win because we're reconciled. But I don't want to stand before a holy God and said, you know, to ask us, well, what did you do about your family? You know, what did you do about the people that were in your orbit? Was it only about you? Did I not bless you to bless others?
Well, you know, if Jesus comes tomorrow, we don't have to worry about it. But if he doesn't come for another 200 years, you better worry about it, because that's generations that are going to grow up in some kind of world, either influenced and affected by Christian worldview or infected by secular worldview.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I know. You know, I'm going to do this series on kingdom voting. You've got people who are so into politics that they're missing the kingdom of God and allowing the political divisions of the culture to become the political divisions of the church.
I want to talk more about it when we come back. We've got more from Dr. Tony Evans after this. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Package is started at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. We come to you every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Dr. Tony Evans continues with us, and we were just talking about his new series coming out in terms of kingdom voting. The thing that is very alarming, relevant to voting with amongst evangelicals, we discovered from research that only half of the church will actually register to vote. And of that half, only half, again, will actually go out and vote. We're not being the world changers that God has called us to be, are we?
No, God has called us to be salt and light, and that means we are to leverage the influence of the kingdom of God in the culture. We're salt of the earth. We're not salt of the shaker. We're light to the world, not light to the bulb. So the idea is that there is a visible, impactful presence, clarifying presence. Let men see your good works, not just talk, hear your good words. And so until we become that kind of church, we cannot influence what happens that we complain about.
Exactly. So tell us more about this new series that you were presenting soon.
Well, I wrote a book called How Should Christians Vote? And I show that God doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants, that he exists. God is the kingdom independent. He votes for himself. So the question is, how does he feel about every subject? We should have outlined by pastors what the Bible says about all the current issues. Then people can go vote. It doesn't mean they're all going to vote the same, but they all should be entering the voting booth with the same frame of reference, so that when they come out of the voting booth, they're still unified because they're only going to do it the kingdom way. And so that's the kind of atmosphere to bring unity and not allow the division in the culture to divide the church.
And what you are offering to pastors is nothing that's going to compromise their tax break and consideration in the past, pastors in the pulpit, which go back to what Senator Johnson, before he was elected, in quieting the Christian vote and the voices of Christian pastors. It was all under the threat of them losing some tax exemption.
This is not time for weak pulpits, weak churches, or weak church members, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, we should be responsible in what we do, but we should not shy away from what we've been challenged and called to do because of cultural threats, or else the Church of Jesus Christ wouldn't even exist if that were the case. So it is time now for churches to come forth, because if we come forth collectively, on our website we have a 3-point plan for churches in every community to use to begin to control the atmosphere in their community.
Well, Dr. Tony Evans continues to be that sobering voice and that word of the watchman to the church at large, founder and senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Evans, one thing in particular I wanted you to share with our audience, because it was so powerfully delivered, and that had to do with the woman at the well and how Jesus handled the racial divide. Break that down for our audience.
Yes, that's John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, he met a woman. They had been, the Samaritans and Jews had been divided since 722 BC, but Jesus went anti-cultural as far as Jews are concerned, and it shocked the woman at the well. She says, how is it you being a Jew ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? We don't do that in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was willing to drink from her cup, which opened the door for him to deal with her sin. And when Jesus, willing to drink from her cup, didn't ignore her humanity, leaving the opportunity for evangelism, she becomes a believer. She leads all the other men who she has been dealing with, and many of them become believers. And then he trains his disciples, don't don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest. It's already ripe for harvest, and you got all these Samaritan men coming across the field. He just told his Jewish followers, come on, guys, let's get to work. And what astounds me about this passage is at the end of the conversation, it says Jesus went and spent 2 days with the Samaritans. Now, these folk hadn't touched each other since 722 BC, and in the spectrum of an hour or two, Jesus is spending a weekend with him, because it doesn't take that long to get God to do things when we're willing to do it his way radically.
Exactly. When you're committed to the truth and understanding imago Deo, that we're created in the image of God, but, you know, we can get deep in the theological, but Jesus was very practical, and he turned this around, as you said, within, 24 hours? I mean, he heals the racial divide that had been going on for hundreds of years. What could we do here in America with that kind of power?
Well, absolutely. That's what that three-point plan talks about. Churches can come together in every community and become the agents of social change. We talk about adopting every school. We talk about adopting the police station. We talk about them coming together to erase homelessness in their community. If the churches would simply come together across racial and cultural lines without compromising any of the essentials of the faith and begin to reach out and address these righteousness and justice issues in the lives of their people, giving them things they can do as individuals and families, and in the lives of their church collectively, we could control the atmosphere. Just like civil rights control the atmosphere in the civil rights movement, we control the atmosphere in this chaos that we're experiencing in the culture.
Otherwise, we just keep going in circles. We're like the children of Israel out in Kadesh Barnea. And I remind people, I say, you know, the reason they kept going in circles because they didn't learn the lesson. And have we not been going around in circles when it comes to, you know, this racial divide and angst that we have struggled with for so long in this country?
Yes, that's because culture has made us feel that the color of person's skin is more important than the dignity of their creation. And as long as we don't start with God, but we start with culture, then we're going to make divisions based on the wrong criteria. Black is beautiful if it's biblical, and white is only right when it agrees with what has been written. And the moment that you stray from that, then you're using false criteria, which will lead to divisiveness.
Where are we on this spectrum right now in light of Black Lives Matter, you know, what's going on in the streets of America, whether you look at Portland and Seattle, New York as well? I mean, it's we are a nation in chaos right now, Dr. Evans.
Well, absolutely. Well, when you say Black Lives Matter, the issue is, are we talking about an emphasis on entity? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about an emphasis, that's legitimate. Like talking about the life of the unborn matters, okay? That's an emphasis. When you talk about the entity, you need to go online, because the entity would not be consistent with our Christian values. So unless you make that distinction, you're leaving people with lack of clarity. And we should be a clear-sounding trumpet, not vague-sounding words.
Well, unfortunately, the mainstream media has abandoned its reason to exist, and they continue to pollute the political waters in such a way that leaves too many of the body politic, and I would say even, you know, Christians as well, a bit confused, because they're not holding to the truth like you and I had talked about earlier.
Well, absolutely, and because they're not holding to it and not being held accountable to it. The church is not just a place where you go to get inspired. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a place where you're being held accountable to the application of the truth, not merely the information about the truth.
You know, you mentioned the issue of abortion, which continues to be a firebrand and a contentious issue. Recently, I had a blessed opportunity to speak with someone who was very hardline. And very tenderly, I mean, eventually she opened up and I understood why she was so resistant. And that was the guilt that she was holding deep in her, even in her subconscious, of a decision that she had made previously. But God healed her, you know, quite dramatically in the way, only way that God can do it, like we talked about earlier. You know, with God, there's no manner of time, is there?
No, absolutely not, and it's great when people can, out of their own experience, develop a burden for a righteous emphasis so that others can benefit from their hurt and then their healing.
Well, Dr. Evans, as we wrap things up, we've got about a minute left. The lasting message that you want believers to hold to right now for this time?
That this is a an opportunity. There is a divine disruption. This has been orchestrated by God because he's trying to reset first the church so that we can do a reset for the culture. And if we will take advantage of this moment, and we have tools to help people do that at TonyEvans.org, and we just pray that God will equip leaders to equip members to practically, hands-on, become salt and light in the culture.
Amen. Dr. Tony Evans, founder, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas. The new book coming out soon, right?
Yeah, well, the book is out, How Should Christians Vote? So they can get that on our website, yes.
That's online as well. Okay, very good. Dr. Evans, always a joy. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi owes the American people an apology after her visit to a hair salon in San Francisco back on Monday. McEnany saying that Pelosi's elitism shined brightly when she visited that salon despite it being closed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Pelosi says she fell for a setup job and she deserves an apology from the salon's owner.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times. When they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, I trusted that.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden set to meet with Jacob Blake's family during a visit to Kenosha, Wisconsin later today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you. How you doing? Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Keep the discussion going. Let me know your thoughts at BMartinezLive.com. Of course, the controversy continues regarding Salongate. Amazing that you would have, as someone pointed out earlier, a person that's three chairs away from being the President of the United States, and she can't seem to follow the rules, and she's caught in the middle of her elitism and, you know, can't even admit and just say, look, at hey, this is important to me, and why I had to get my hair done, and but instead she wants to blame everybody else. Maybe there's a lesson here for all of us, right? If you just think about it. Patrick Schwenk joins us now. I was hoping that we were going to have both Patrick and Ruth, but Patrick is with us. And, you know, at some point in our lives, we all find ourselves in a boat in the middle of a lake. We might be there due to a job loss or death of a loved one, maybe disability, divorce, or financial insecurity has stranded us. Well, the husband and pastor and co-author is here to tell his story about this new book, In a Boat in the Middle of a Lake, Trusting the God Who Meets Us in Our Storm. Patrick, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Bill. Thanks so much. Looking forward to talking to you today.
Yeah, I was told Ruth was going to join us. I guess, is she out at the salon getting her hair done or something?
I wish.
Just teasing. I mean, you know, because she's not here, and you got a couple of guys. We can be like guys, and
that's right.
And then we'll get in trouble later, and go. And of course, you can plead plausible deniability. Go, look, honey, I had nothing to do with this. It was that crazy Mexican host, the show host. You know,
against the bus. Yeah.
Why not? I'm used to being there. It's okay. It's not a problem. Patrick, you know, I appreciate you coming on because this is a story that you and Ruth, that in a boat in the middle of a lake. I mean, this reflects a chapter in your life.
It does. Yeah, I was diagnosed with a type of blood cancer in January of 2018, and so I had been healthy and active and exercising and eating right. I mean, doing all the things that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And yet I was diagnosed with a type of blood cancer that generally affects people that are, you know, over the age of 65, 70. And even within that, it typically affects females and not males. And so I'm a very rare person to have this particular type of blood cancer. And so we immediately felt like we found ourselves in a boat in the middle of a lake. And of course, I'm using that picture from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus takes his disciples out into a lake, mm-hmm. and they find themselves surrounded by water and in a fierce storm.
And so you find yourself in a fierce storm, and I mean, and this is tough because it's one thing to write about it, you know, on the other side, but when you're there going through it, all the emotions, all the what ifs, the possibilities come into play, the effect it has on the family, effect it had on your wife as well, right?
Yeah, no, it was definitely the darkest, most challenging time of our life. We have four kids, and at the time our kids were 16, 14, 11, and 9, I think, when mm-hmm. I was diagnosed. And so walking through that, just as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, I mean, that was challenging enough. And then trying to lead your family through the midst of that, it was really, really challenging. And so not long after, I went through 5 months of frontline treatment, trying to drive the cancer as deep as they could. Mm-hmm. And then in July of 2018, I went into the University of Michigan Hospital here in Ann Arbor and had my first stem cell transplant, and then came back in October and had a second one. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't long after that that we began writing the book, and so there were lots of tears along the way as I was writing that book, and Ruth, you know, as Ruth and I were doing that, just sort of revisiting, you know, some of those moments and pieces of our story. And yet in the midst of that, we can also say that God has just been so good. He's been so faithful, and his mm-hmm. grace really has been sufficient. And we have not been alone in a boat in the middle of a lake.
Exactly. What did the doctors tell you when they told you about your cancer? What did they say?
Well, the way I found out, I was waiting for some test results. Ruth and I had just picked up our oldest son, Tyler, from school, from a co-op that he was involved in, he and his friend. And I got a phone call, and Ruth was driving, and I was sort of not expecting to hear any kind of, I mean, just was sort of expecting to get an update on a biopsy I thought I was going to have. Mm-hmm. And so the nurse on the other end realized that I didn't know why she was calling, and so she began to tell me what it was. She began to, you know, to really spell out a word or two words that I had never heard of, and yet it would turn our world upside down. And so we waited then after that about 8 days to see the specialist. Those were, mm-hmm. you know, 8 of the longest days I've ever had to wait. And so we didn't know at that time. I didn't know whether I had 3 months to live or 6 months to live. Wow. 10 years, like I just had no idea. And so we waited as a family for 8 days,
So what all you knew was that you had some cancer, that's all?
At that point, what I knew on the phone was that I had a particular type of blood cancer and didn't know what stage it was, didn't know how advanced it was, didn't know if they caught it early. And so we waited with a lot of unknowns, you know, for those 8 days. And even when we were able to see the specialist, I mean, he was very, very encouraging. I mean, they caught it at a good time, but because of the type of cancer, they just don't know. I ask him probably what every person asks when they're diagnosed with cancer is, how long do I have to live? Mm-hmm. And his response was, I don't know. This behaves so differently in different people's bodies. And
right.
So we were immediately thrust into that storm, forced to listen to our doctor, but ultimately to trust God.
What a tough question to ask. And from Ruth's standpoint, a tough question to hear. How long do I have to live?
Yeah. But I think that, you know, suffering is so unique. I mean, we're our own reference point. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we can never compare our suffering. And Ruth suffered, you know, as my wife and as a mom in a way that I'll never fully understand. And I walked that journey in a way that she won't understand. And so I would imagine that as a wife, that was incredibly hard to hear. Me ask that question and not to have more clarity, but she has so much more faith than I do. God knew what he was doing when he brought her into my life 22 years ago. And she has just been such a godly woman, such a woman of great faith, and has been such an encouragement, oftentimes fighting my fear that swirls around in my head with the facts. And so she has routinely over the last couple of years just brought me back to what the doctor has said and what the statistics are and just what the scriptures say. And so she has just been an incredible blessing in that way, just encouraging me and strengthening me when I would get into those tough places or those weak moments.
Yeah, when we talk about marriage, there's a lot to understand about the two becoming one, right?
Right.
And here it is. You're experiencing this firsthand. You're appreciating, you know, God's intent in bringing you two together.
Right.
The complementing force, you know, and that's
right.
That is with an E, complementing force, because it really speaks of a completion between the husband and wife. And, you know, for you two to be able to experience this had to just be incredible in terms of your relationship and the volumes it spoke to your family.
Yeah, you're so right. And, you know, I will often say, you know, wedding ceremonies, as a pastor, I've had the opportunity to do lots of ceremonies over the last 20 years of pastoral ministry. And I will oftentimes tell a couple, it's one thing to walk down the aisle together. It's a whole other thing to walk through life together.
Yes.
And it's easy, you know, to walk down that aisle together, but it's not nearly as easy to walk through life together. And we would have never anticipated some of the things that we've walked through. Ruth has had, you know, 5 miscarriages over the years, and of course, walking through my diagnosis. And yet, like you said, I mean, God, you know, has supplied me with an incredible godly wife who has brought her strengths and complemented my weaknesses. And that has been especially pronounced, you know, over the last two and a half years as we've walked through this. And she has just been a blessing and an encouragement. And of course, there's those times where I've got to encourage her, and but she has been just that. She has completed me and complimented me when I needed it the most.
That's awesome. We've got more from Pastor Patrick Schwenk. We're talking about his new book, In a Boat in the Middle of a Lake.
Are you concerned the media and candidates don't provide valid information so you can vote wisely and preserve your religious, political, and economic freedoms? iVoterGuide.com is not connected to any candidate. We provide vote ratings, donation records, endorsements, issue surveys, and predictions on how candidates will govern on a 7-point scale from very liberal to very conservative. Go to iVoterGuide.com to get factual information. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Hello and welcome to Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. I'm Dan Perkins. Are you like me and you can't manage your prescription refills always seem to be out? Well, now the VA service has a great service for you. With this service, you can refill your VA prescriptions online, view your past and current VA prescriptions, and track the delivery of each prescription mailed to you. For more information, go to theva.com and look for the prescription refill program. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you?
Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, we continue with the story from the husband, pastor, and co-author of the new book, In a Boat in the Middle of a Lake, Trusting the God Who Meets Us in Our Storm. At some point in our lives, we find ourselves in a boat in the middle of a lake. We might be there due to a job loss or the death of a loved one, maybe disability, divorce, or financial insecurity has stranded us. So we're, God only knows what's going on right now between COVID-19, the racial unrest, the chaos that's in the street. But lest we forget, Patrick is here to remind us that even there, God is there. Whether it's in Portland, I think of all the people who have passed away, Patrick, due to COVID. And one of the things that just really broke my heart was the idea that so many of them died alone.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking, you know, when you hear stories like that of loved ones, you know, separated for obvious reasons, you know, for safety reasons. And I think that's, you know, one of the challenges when you're walking through suffering, doesn't matter whether it's cancer or COVID or, you know, job loss. I mean, suffering can be incredibly lonely. It's painful, but it can also be incredibly lonely. And I just love the reminders of the scriptures. You know, we wrote the book In a Boat in the Middle of a Lake based on Mark 4. And it's that story of Jesus taking the disciples out into the middle of the lake and the storm swirls around them. And I love the scene where Jesus he's asleep in the boat, that this would be a test not for him but for the disciples. And they would learn an awful lot about themselves, but more importantly, they'd learn an awful lot about Jesus. And one of the things that they learn is that he is Lord over the chaos and he's present with them. And so many times over the last, you know, 2 years, 2.5 years, as we walk through cancer, just that reminder that even when we don't feel God's presence, even when we can't necessarily see what he's doing or understand what he's doing, God is with us. I mean, he's in the midst of that pain and that suffering, and he is for us, and he is leading us and taking care of us in ways that we can't even perceive at times.
Exactly. Well, and for you as a pastor and an influencer who has the privilege to speak in the lives of others, you've found, I'm sure, in your ministry, there's only so much you can give. But based on your experience with God through this, through this issue, through this challenge of cancer, you got to know God in a whole new light, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. I tell people often that I wouldn't wish cancer on my worst enemy, but I also wouldn't trade it for anything. And I say that with humility. I think that there is so much that we learn. Mark chapter 4 starts out with Jesus teaching his disciples by the lake. And then as that chapter continues on, you see him teaching them out in the middle of a lake. And there's just so many things that we need to learn on the shore, on dry ground, by the lake. But there's just some things that we can only learn in the midst of chaos and not a classroom. And my relationship with God today, I just know his love and the intimacy that he has for me in a way that I didn't know before cancer. And so because of that, I'm just incredibly grateful for the many ways that God has just drawn Ruth and I into a deeper, closer relationship with God. And just the hope that we have in Jesus today versus 2-3 years ago is very different. And that's one of the gifts, I think, of suffering or trials, is that God really does use those seasons. He doesn't cause them, but he uses them or allows them so that we might know him in greater and more intimate ways.
And that's really what this is all about, right? That we would know him more. And I know that on the surface, for some people hearing this, that have been, I guess in some sense you say fortunate, maybe some sense unfortunate, not to go through a middle of the lake boat experience like many of us have. But it's to draw the most out of it, to be redeemed. And part of that redemption process is, as you say, it is humbling. But more importantly, it's the acknowledgement that God is still God.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that you see throughout the scriptures. I mean, point to any verse in the Bible, any passage in the Bible that has to do with suffering or trials. And you'll notice that there's always something good that's tethered to that God wants to do in us. And so God does, I think, uniquely use trial and suffering to purify us, to even sometimes discipline us out of his love for us. And so as much as we don't like to go through difficult seasons or trials, God really does use them in a redemptive way to draw us closer, to him. And at the end of the day, God is God and we're not, and one of the chapters of the book, we talk about, just pry us off dead center. I mean, God, you are God and we belong to you. We came from you and one day we're going to return to you. And so even in my suffering, even in my trials, God, help this to be a refining, purifying process in my own soul, but also help this to point others to you, Jesus, in the hope that we have in you. There is no greater hope than Jesus crucified and resurrected.
Well, Patrick, in light of what we're dealing with today in this culture, we've never, I don't know, in my lifetime, have we ever been this divided? I mean, it is amazing. We have people talking, political, key political figures talking about uniting us. And I don't know how it's so possible when they want to stay anchored in their own perspective. I mean, we've got to find a way to get out of our silo, as one author had shared with me. We're so ideologically fixed, as Jordan Peterson said, that we've rendered ourselves stupid. This is what happens when we do it man's way instead of God's way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think what you're experiencing and seeing, what we're all experiencing, in so many ways, we're all in a boat in the middle of a lake right now.
Yes.
With what's going on in the world with COVID and just some of the race. Unrest and division, just the things that are happening politically. And it's just a reminder of what the scriptures have said all along, that we are absolutely broken without God, and we make a mess of things without Him. And so what we're seeing in the news and what we read about is just it's the outworking of a life lived apart from God. And it just shows how broken our culture, our world really is when we try to do it our way. And so it's just one more reminder how Jesus really is the good news, and His kingdom really is, the greatest hope that we have. It's unshakable. Yeah. And He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And what I love also is that, there's no manner of time in Jesus' reality. We were just talking with Dr. Tony Evans a moment ago, and I was particularly moved by a sermon that he had given about how Jesus solved the race problem with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he said it didn't take years. It was a matter of hours. And this issue was resolved. This is the power of God's truth in every situation, whether it is that we're dealing with cancer, whether a pandemic, whether racial unrest. But this is the opportunity, as you say, the opportunity for the body politic, people of faith, to draw nearer to God, because, God's shaking things up here. And we need to understand that it is God that's shaking things up, not Donald Trump, not any political figure. It is God Himself that's shaking things up for one purpose only, and that is for us to be redeemed, as you said earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the story of Nehemiah, I love the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and just that story of Nehemiah and the Israelites seeing the brokenness of Jerusalem. And one of the first things they do is, Nehemiah 1, when Nehemiah hears that news, he is broken, he weeps, he mourns over the city, and he begins to pray and fast and confess sin. And I just think that's a great place for the church to begin today. I think that we ought to weep over what we're seeing in our culture and be broken over that and confess sin where we need to confess sin and acknowledge our part in it. But ultimately, times like this are always an invitation by God to return to Him.
Exactly.
Be the people that He's called us to be. I mean, Israel is called to be a light unto all the nations, and the church is said to be a royal priesthood. And so we have an incredible opportunity as God's people to shine incredibly bright during these dark times.
Well, and it's interesting you should use the term return, because there's a special event coming up in September at the mall in D.C., in Washington, D.C., and they're expecting 500,000 people to show up to pray, fast, repent, 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is what it looks like, in order that we would be drawn back to God and realize that, we're messing this thing up. There's just not enough king's horses and king's men to put this thing back together, that we really finally need to turn to God, who is sovereign in all things, that has the very answer that we're looking for. And ashamedly, as a nation, as a culture, we've turned our back on God, and we're paying the price. But, just like the children of Israel, at times when they were being judged, they just didn't want to accept God's judgment.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing, is it, to accept that or to see our part in it. And I love that, just throughout the Old Testament, those strong words by the Lord in terms of Israel's, guilt, it's always coupled with a promise of hope and redemption.
Yes.
And I know that's what you're talking about, is just that opportunity for us as God's people to pray, to repent, to confess sin, to return to Him. And God is so good. I mean, He promises us a new day, promises us a new beginning. And that's what we want. I think this is such a great opportunity for us.
Yes.
We go through difficult times to see, God, what are you doing, and how can we be a part of that to continue to bring your good news to a hurting world?
Well, you think about how much better we're going to know God on the other side of this?
That's right.
Just like with your experience and everybody else that's been in a boat in the middle of a lake that has gone through this, as you say, you wouldn't want it for anybody else, but you wouldn't trade it either because of what you've learned along the way. And again, it brings to life, God's words and, all our experiences in such a way that that it's inarguable, right?
That's right.
Without a doubt.
You're exactly right.
Patrick Schwenk has been with us, co-author of the book, In a Boat, In the Middle of a Lake, Trusting the God Who Meets Us in Our Storm. Linked on our website. Thank you, Patrick.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
With more people